Hello and welcome to the Wednesday, March 13th, 2013 edition of the Sands and its Storm Centers Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich and I'm today recording from Orlando, Florida. Well, the big event, of course, that we'll start out with today is the Microsoft March 2013 Black Tuesday. We did get 7 bulletins as pre-advertised by Microsoft. So first one here is MS-1321. It's the usual Internet Explorer cumulative patch, so it fixes 8 more use after free vulnerabilities. One of these vulnerabilities apparently has been made public already, according to Microsoft, and the exploitability is rated with 1, which means it's fairly easy to exploit, so be ready for some new exploitation here. I haven't seen any public modules yet for this particular vulnerability, but would expect them shortly. Then we do also have updates for Silverlight, that's MS-1322. As I mentioned last week in the pre-announcement, that this includes an update for Mac. So if you watch Netflix on your Mac, you probably do have Silverlight installed, and there should be an automatic update notice sometime in the future. I think by default they're configured to check weekly for new updates. This one is rated critical, be rated it critical for clients and important for servers. If you do have Visio installed, then MS-1323 is the one to watch. Random code execution. If you do open Visio documents in your Visio viewer, so you don't necessarily need the full version of Visio, just the Visio viewer is enough to be vulnerable here. Typical client vulnerability, so whatever you open will be opened in the context of the user viewing it. On the server side, we do have MS-1324. It is a privilege escalation in SharePoint. Looks like mostly cross-site scripting and a directory traversal vulnerability. Microsoft does rate it as critical, so exploitation doesn't require any willing user interaction. Next, MS-1325 fixes a problem in OneNote. This is a buffer management problem that could allow arbitrary memory to leak. Now, as a result, things that are stored within OneNote, like for example, configured usernames and passwords for accounts that OneNote connects to, could leak and could be exposed as a result. And next, we got another bulletin for our Mac users in MS-1325. This fix does patch a bug in Outlook for the Mac. The effect of the vulnerability is that if you're previewing HTML5 content in Outlook on your Mac, you may actually inadvertently load a content from arbitrary websites without clicking anything. So this could be used, for example, to expose you to various client exploits without your knowledge and without you contributing to it by clicking on any links. Finally, we got MS-1327. This is our usual kernel mode driver patch. This time it's USB drivers, and it does fix some privilege escalation flaws in USB kernel mode drivers that will allow a regular user to gain full administrative rights. Well, and finally, the patch priority that I would assign these different patches, and well, it's pretty much in the order in which they're listed this month. The Internet Explorer cumulative patch is probably the most likely to cause a problem, so take that one first, followed by Silverlight. Visio Viewer, I would assign that a lower priority just because it has a smaller install base. Same with OneNote, and OneNote, of course, is not really a code execution. Outlook for the Mac next, because it does require then a second vulnerability to be actually exploited, and the kernel mode drivers being just a privilege escalation vulnerability. Lastly, the SharePoint vulnerability, of course, that's something that you should apply pretty expeditiously if you are running SharePoint. And then let's not forget, we also got patches from Adobe today. Only one bulletin that affects a Flash player and Air. But well, let's see what we have in other news. A website posted personal details like credit reports and social security numbers for a number of celebrities like Michelle Obama, Britney Spears, and Sarah Palin, as well as other movie and politicians. Now, it isn't clear at this point whether or not the data is actually accurate or how much of it came from public sources. Some items, for example, like social security numbers, have been leaked in the past just due to publicly accessible court documents. The site itself doesn't state where the data comes from or why it was leaked on the particular site. And Avast.de was compromised. Now, Avast is an antivirus vendor. However, the .de site is not directly maintained by Avast. Instead, it is the website of a German reseller for Avast. And Avast, the antivirus company, actually stated that for a long time now, they're trying to get actually that domain name back. In the particular compromise, the database of the reseller was breached. Usernames, hash passwords, payment details, and email addresses were leaked. Well, that's it for today. So thanks again for listening and talk to you again tomorrow. Bye.